And so I'm asking everybody about something that they could talk about a little bit, that's like a tangible expression of the land and culture, like Cambalache, or, you know, I talked to a chili farmer and he said, you know, it's when you go to lunch and you get you have a choice between red and green chili, and, you know, I'm just curious for everyone, you know, what is it that you feel like you can see from the land, like in either New Mexican culture or, you know, however, whatever.
I look at the land and the land is telling me that we are always part of the landscape, that we're connected, that we're not apart. You know, in Indian country, we have no word for wilderness. Okay? I can see a wilderness up here. I have lots of names for those areas in the wilderness in Tisuki. And when I go up there, and I go traveling and I look at the landscape and I see how it's been managed. However, now, because of the wilderness tag, we're being told we're not part of that landscape. And everything that you hear about, the fire suppression, things like that, that's part of what's going on, and that's what's needed. And so for me, the land is, I mean, it's who we are, who I am. You know, somebody chose this place, and like the Spanish have a chronicle, there was a Garden of Eden here, you know. The land, everything that we use is here. The turquoise, you know, that's our precious gem, which is formed through the heavy pressures of volcanic activity, which we have here. And up north, we have the mica, which also needs the heavy pressure. We have that here. We have the to me, it's just that we're part of the landscape. There's no separation. We have to be out there working the land. And now I look at my community, or all communities, is related to the health of our land. Our lands are eroding. You got big head cuts and all of this, you know. And then you look at the health of our communities. They're eroding too. Because we've gotten away from the landscape. We're not working the land anymore. And I say that we start working with the landscape, improving the health of the landscape will also improve the health of our communities. And I firmly believe that. We have high rates of, say, diabetes, for example, because of the foods we eat and the inactivity. You know, work the land. Come out here and work the land instead of sitting there in front of the TV, working your thumb. The foods that we eat, you know. There's the new movie King Korn. Have you seen that one? So fast food diet. Let's say you get a burger, okay, grain fed. It's all corn. It's all fat. I think it's grain-fed cattle have 17% more fat than grass-fed. The fries, corn, the soft drink, high fructose corn syrup. So, there's no protein in the beef. So it's an unhealthy diet, and we wonder why we're sick. You know, now we come out here and see what we have here, and eat that. A lot of it is medicine, also. So in the country, we say food is medicine. Medicine is food. Yeah, I can. That's why we're part of the landscape. We're not separate. And Earth Mom is crying right now because she needs all the help she can get. And we need to change our habits so that there's a future.
And so I just have two quick questions, and you know, one is, do you have any hope for, you know, not only the different Native nations and Pueblos, but also the, like, for everyone who's, we're all living together now. I mean, do you have any hope that we can all find some way to be good to the earth, and to be, you know, to just live in some balance, find some balance with how we're living and our lifestyles and ourselves and everything.
There's hope. Lots of young people are realizing that. And they're the engine for change. However, we have government, and we have people in government that don't respect communities or what communities mean. Their vision is themselves. And how much money they can put into their pockets, and not caring about how many people that they destroy along the way. So it needs to be a holistic approach. And with all this activities going on, you know, with the GE activity that we've started here, educating the communities, educating communities that we have a voice, and that we need to be listened to, and that the people have more power than corporations, and that government themselves have to listen to the people. The big scare is this nuclear. I say at one point in time, I think the younger generations looking at the nuclear holocaust were saying, well, I have no future. I might as well live the fast life, you know, and get everything accomplished, because you never know when it's going to happen. And then there was a point in time where there were decisions made preventing nuclear war. And now it's back on the table. And I'm seeing how it's impacting a lot of the lives of the younger generation. And they're hearing the same things. We have no future. Or do we have a future? And that's what I'm talking about, government. Government needs to listen to the people. We don't need that. And like you say, we need to work together. We're all one here on Earth, Mom. We need to stop the fighting. However, that's been going on for centuries, you know. And slowly there's change. You know, there's some states or some counties within states that have passed legislation against GE contamination. You know, with $1,000 fine per day if they plant GE seeds. So that's a start, you know, that's a start of communities taking back and saying what they want. And, more people realize what's going on, more people will stand up. And hopefully, government will listen.